Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm a mentor, four times author, leader of my Bold Darling Mastermind for female entrepreneurs, retreat host, and I've gotten to host this podcast for 5 years. As with all of my work, this show is to serve female entrepreneurs who want to optimize their energy and their mindsets in order to build the businesses and lives of their dreams. I've walked this entrepreneurial path for 11 years now, and I can tell you that there is a way to have a business you love and still have the space and time for all the other parts of your life that make you, you. Whether your number one priority right now is to scale your business, upgrade your finances, rediscover yourself, find more energy, get more organized, reconnect with yourself, or build a life and or business that's more aligned for you, or all of the above, I am here as your guide on the show to help you make it a reality. Listen in on my dulcet Irish tones as I share tales from the front line of my business and mentoring, behind the scenes insights on how I'm approaching life and business, and speak with brilliant expert guests. Search The Lorraine Murphy Show wherever you get your podcasts. A new episode drops every Friday. Subscribe to make sure you always catch the freshest episodes. Let's dive in to this week's show. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm very excited because we have got a Dear Lorraine episode coming up this week. Now, before I tell you about that and my listener challenge this week, I want to remind you that I am coming to Melbourne. I am hosting my Bold Brilliance one-day strategy retreat in Melbourne. It's happening on Wednesday, 31st of July. We can spend an entire day together brainstorming your business. I'm going to be taking you through how to build a business that delivers cash, but also time and energy. I'm also going to be diving really deep into energy management. We're going to have some get shit done time. And it's just such a special, beautiful, rare opportunity to hang out with like-minded business owners just like you. So it's a great one for you if you are in the early stages of planning a business. Save yourself years of mistakes that I made. Or it's awesome also if you've got an established business, because it really helps your business get to that next level. So really, really excited for that one. The other thing, two things that are happening later on in the year are I'm hosting my next Bali retreat. That is happening the third week of October. So cannot wait to create that experience for another group of very special women again in October. If Bali feels a bit too far for you for whatever reason right now, I'm also hosting an Australian retreat. It's happening on the Central Coast, and that is happening the third week of November. So a couple of really, really special options to really help you hit the pause button, drop into yourself, just be loved on by me and my team, and not have to make any decisions for a few days, which for me is the world's biggest luxury at this kind of a thing. So lots happening. I'll pop link to all three of those events in the show notes as well. So our listener challenge this week is from Carmen, and she says, I need to post on social media to get clients. Help, block capitals. Okay, Carmen. First of all, it is okay. I know that it can feel super overwhelming focusing on the social media space, particularly in those early days. And I just want you to know that we have all been there. Any of us who need to post on social in order to build our businesses, we get it. And it is scary. It's really scary, especially as you're starting out and you're also trying to wear all the hats of getting a business going as well. And I know that social media, creating the content, posting the content, replying to comments can really feel like that bridge too far of I've got so many hats already, and this is one that I just cannot, will not, do not want to wear right now. And I think the other fear around social media as well is it can be a scary place. You know, we can be very conscious about what we do post up. There's a business owner that I deeply admire and love her brand, and just this week she posted something. It's very, very rare for her to put a foot wrong with socials, and she posted something that I have to say I saw it myself and went, oh, that's just a bit off. It's just missing the mark in quite a big way. And then I saw then yesterday that she posted quite a lengthy apology and had apologized for the postage she had put up, and obviously trying to correct, course correct and rebuild relationships after that post. So it can be a scary place to be. And I think particularly in this cancel culture that we live in, we can be very nervous about what we do put out there in case it upsets someone somewhere. So I just want to acknowledge your concerns around it, first of all. I think that's important. Now, there's some things that I know to be true when it comes to social media, having been my whole first business was actually built on social media because it was a talent agency for social influencers or bloggers, as we call them all the way back then. And obviously the second business really does have social media at its core as well. So there's some things that I know to be true after 12 plus years of operating in this space. First of all, everyone struggles at the start. And I would say, particularly when it came to Instagram, in this second business, I struggled for a good 2 to 3 years, just not knowing what to post, how to post, what was my style, what was my voice. It was all very, very exhausting. But I do know that everyone struggles at the start. The second thing I know to be true is that in a year, you will be so happy that you started posting and creating and maintaining and being consistent with your social media. It is such a classic thing. It's like building an email list. It's such a classic example in business of it just needs constant love and attention and dedicated focus, a consistent focus. So I promise you that, and it's obviously not clear from your question whether or not you have started posting on social media or this is a block that you're currently experiencing as you're kind of underway and you're still experiencing like, it just feels ick. But in a year, I promise you, you will be so happy that you started today. The third thing that I know to be true about social media is that it is not a one-way conversation. I think business owners make this mistake so much of thinking I need to be almost like this broadcast channel and this source of all truth and this amazing oracle for my community. And it's really not the case at all. Social media and the very nature of it is that it offers us the opportunity to have a two-way conversation with our community. And the awesome thing about social, when you do start to really build that community and have that two-way conversation, is that your community will tell you what they want. But the problem with that is it takes time for them to build that trust in you. It's almost like a friendship. They need to know that you're there and you're not going anywhere. And then they start to open up and really start to trust you and interact with you. So it takes time to build the foundations of that relationship so that they can trust you and start to give you that, it's not even feedback, it's to engage in a conversation with you. And I really do believe that. I've felt that in my community for the last probably 4 to 5 years. And it only comes from you actually putting content out there and seeing what resonates. So that's another huge reason to start today, because until you do, you won't get the opportunity to have that connection and that conversation with your community. The fourth thing on that point that I know to be true when it comes to social is it's so important to see your community as a community and not as an audience. If I think about community, I think of long-term. It's a long-term relationship. It's an evolving entity. It starts to take on a life and energy all of its own. If I think about an audience, there's something more passive about an audience, like they're there to consume. And it's more of a short-term investment and it's more transactional. It's like, I'm seeing you as my audience. I'm going to give you XYZ so that you give me XYZ back. So I really think if you can approach your social media as a community rather than an audience, it really sets you up for long-term success and long-term connection and mutual benefit between you and your community. If you think about audience, it's like the sense of that it's quite benefit focused, you know, the benefit that you get from having the audience is they invest in your products and services. The benefit that your audience gets is they get this awesome free content via social media. But if you can move beyond that investment and that transactional nature of that, you can really start to build something much deeper. And a question I've gotten so much, actually mostly this year, maybe it's because I'm back doing retreats post-COVID and all the things, but a question I get asked on every retreat is, do I get mean girls? Like, do I ever get someone on a retreat that they rock up and I'm like, oh my God, this person is here. Oh shit. And I can honestly tell you it has never once happened. I've had at least 3 Australian retreats as in open retreats. And then I've had about 3 kind of closed retreats, which is within specific masterminds, or my one this year was for my Magnificence program. And two in Bali, soon to be third, coming up in October this year. And it's never once happened. There's never one person on a retreat that I go, oh, I really don't want to sit beside that person for lunch or breakfast or dinner. It just doesn't happen. And I think there's two reasons for this. The group in Bali laughed when I answered this question for them in May. First of all, they're priced out. You know, I really don't think anyone's going to drop thousands of dollars in relation to what I'm talking about, a retreat situation, to just show up and be a bitch. Like, you're just not going to do that. You'll find cheaper ways to be a bitch. So I think the first reason I don't experience that is they're priced out. And the second thing is, I think there's a really beautiful values fit between me and my community. And women know that when they come to a one-day event, like my Melbourne or Brisbane or Sydney event, or they come on a six-day, five-night retreat, like my Bali retreat, that they have this, it's almost like a pre-screening. They know that the women who are also attracted to me and my work and the spaces that I hold are going to have a similar value set to them. And the friendships that are conceived at these events and these retreats, it just blows my mind because there's a value set there. So, and that comes from me seeing this whole groups within the groups that I'm attracting as a genuine community. So it shifts the energy of how you're showing up on social media when you think about it as a long-term community, a long-term relationship that you're building, rather than a short-term transactional audience that you want to get money out of, essentially. And I'm not saying, Carmen, that's your approach, by the way, just making that clear. The fifth thing that I know for sure about social media is just please forget about the numbers. Small can absolutely be mighty. I was coached by someone a few years ago, myself, as in I was the client, the coachee, and she was the coach. And she had relatively tiny numbers on Instagram, email, and she was clearing seven figures in her business. So please drop the numbers game and the numbers comparisonitis. And just trust that the people who you are attracting, assuming obviously the content that you're creating is resonating with them, will go on to be your first 1,000 followers. Tim Ferriss, entrepreneur, podcaster, investor, talks a lot about the first 1,000 followers. It was actually, I think it was a Harvard Business Review essay that he read in the very, very early days of his first business. And he forgot all about building these massive communities and instead focused on attracting those first 1,000 followers. And those first 1,000 followers become your early adopters. They're the people that go and tell their friends and tell their colleagues and tell their sisters and tell their neighbors all about how amazing your business is. So forget about your numbers and your first horizon when you're starting out and establishing yourself on social is to think about, okay, getting those 1,000 first community members changes the whole game. And also, if you do see people in your space who've got way bigger numbers than you do, whether it's their email list or their Instagram or their TikTok followers or whatever it might be, please do not get discouraged, because remember, they are 100% where you are at one point in the past. They're just a little bit further along on the journey than you are right now. So release the comparisonitis. It doesn't serve you. It doesn't help you. Focus on, I'm using all the metaphors, but you know, swim in your own lane and focus on serving your audience, because your audience will come to you. So your community will come to you and will stay with you because there's a need that you are meeting and a way that you are communicating with them that no one else has done. No one else is doing. There's a really beautiful, unique connection between you and your community. So foster that, nurture that, and trust that that is real and that it will go on to create long-term success for both you and for your community members. The sixth thing that I know for absolute sure is to focus on adding value. I think a lot of us can get put off from socials because we feel like we need to be on there, you know, humble bragging about the amazing stuff we've done, how amazing we are. And think about the people that you like to follow on socials, the people whose emails you love to drop into your inbox. For me, they're the people that I feel a really genuine connection with, like a really authentic connection with. So for me, examples of those are, I love Revy Jane's content. I'm talking about Instagram here. Marcia Leone, who's the founder of Not So Mumsy, love her content. If I think about, so that's a real like genuine connection that I feel with them. And if I think about people who I think add shit tons of value, I think Tracy from Mums with Hustle adds shit tons of value. And in my emails, James Clear adds epic value in his weekly newsletter, as does Sophia Amoroso, who's the founder of Nasty Girl, Girl Boss, and Business Class. So think about, and ideally what I want to do with the content I'm sharing with my community is to do both. I want to create that really beautiful, genuine connection where they feel like they know me really well. But also I want to add shit tons of value. And I think I do a better job at the former than the second, which is something that I want to really focus on this quarter and going forward. And the adding value piece for me comes from being organized and more structured. The first half I find relatively easy. However, the second half is the bit that it's my classroom right now, is to be more structured, more organized, more planned, more batched in order to show up and add that value that I know I can add. I just don't add as much as I would like to. So focus on adding value and you cannot go wrong. That said, please do diversify. I get very anxious when I'm mentoring someone and all their eggs are in the social media basket, because I saw this happen with the influencers that I represented back in my first business, because back then they got epic traffic through Twitter, they got epic traffic through Facebook. And then when Facebook started to monetize the platform more, they weren't able to access that organic reach for free anymore. They had to put paid spend behind their posts. And that was a real, if you weren't kind of operating in that space back then, it was incredibly disruptive. It was incredibly expensive. And it was incredibly scary for influencers back then who were used to just being able to access potentially thousands of their Facebook community for free, and then having to put money behind to boost their post. And there essentially being no ceiling on reaching. And obviously then we're operating in the environment that we're operating in now with Meta, where it really is pay to play if you're a business brand. So please do think about diversifying your channels as well. So I love the idea of, we rent Instagram, we rent TikTok, we rent Pinterest, we rent Facebook, we rent all these different platforms, YouTube, all the things. But what you actually own is your email list and also your podcast, if you have one, assuming you've got your podcast managed director in a way that's not, you know, just doesn't hinder or censor what you want to put out there. So really think about, what are the platforms that you are renting and how can you transition people from those rented platforms onto those owned platforms, i.e. email, podcast list, Substack, and so on. So it really gives you that insurance policy and means that you can switch on that tap whenever you want to switch it on. You don't need to pay to switch on that tap. So finally, there's a few things I just wanted to share. I sat as I was preparing this response for you, lovely Carmen, and I said, if I was starting tomorrow and I was starting a new business, or mainly if I was starting a new business and I was going to start all over from scratch, you know, scratch everything that I've done so far with any of my platforms, and I thought, what are the three things that I would do? And the first thing that I would do is focus on consistency over quality, particularly when you're starting out. It's not to say that you just pump shit out for the sake of pumping shit out, but we get so caught up, particularly, hate to say it, as females, we get so caught up in creating the perfect reel or the perfect images, and it prevents us from actually showing up and putting that content out there. And also in the early days, you don't know what your audience is going to really resonate with. You don't know what you're really going to resonate with and what you really enjoy putting out there into the world. So think about how you can focus on, rather than the quality and the perfection, is to focus on just showing up consistently. And even if the video is a bit shaky, or even if you're not sure about the caption, or even if you're not sure about that trending audio, if it was the right one to put up there on your Instagram reel, just putting it out there and showing up and giving yourself the permission to play and for it not to be perfect, which I fully appreciate is easier said than done. The second thing that I would do if I was starting again tomorrow is give myself permission to only talk to my ideal customer. For so many years, particularly with socials, I felt like I needed to have something out there for everyone. And I mean, obviously my audience is mostly female, but within that female subset, you know, there's subsets within that female audience. So maybe women who are working in the home. Maybe there are women who are thinking about starting a business. Maybe there's women who have a business. Maybe there's women who are looking to get to that next level in their corporate career. Maybe there's women who are studying. Maybe there's women who aren't sure what they want to do, and maybe doing 2-3 different things at the same time. I really tried to focus on making everything as generic as possible, so all of those women could implement whatever it was that I was either sharing as free content or selling as paid content. And I really noticed a huge change in my business about 3 years ago. Just today, I was looking at my numbers because we've just come to the end of financial year. for those of us here in Australia. And I was looking back over my numbers for this financial year and past financial years. And there is such a huge jump in both my annual revenue and my annual profit. About 2.5 years ago, really started to jump up, like hockey stick jump. And it's because at that point, 2.5 years ago, I said, okay, I am here to serve female entrepreneurs. If there's other women who really get a lot out of what I'm sharing and they want to come along for the ride, that is awesome. But I am primarily speaking to women who are female entrepreneurs, and I am pretty much exclusively selling to women who are female entrepreneurs. And that completely changed the game. So are there still ways that women can tap into my content? Obviously on Instagram, podcast, my retreats, I deliberately leave open, and they are not only for female entrepreneurs, unless I clearly call it out as a business retreat. And the difference it has made to the bottom line, top line and bottom line of my business has been absolutely game changing. So my revenue grew almost 40% year on year from last financial year to this financial year that we've just ended. And I've credited to a couple of different things, but mostly to me just giving myself permission to serve that subset of my audience. So if I was starting again tomorrow, I would give myself permission to only talk to that ideal customer. And what happens when you do that is that pretty much every touch point that that ideal customer has with you, she or he feels like you are talking to them. Like women who read my content now or watch my reels or listen to podcasts, whatever it might be, they say to me, I feel like you're just talking to me. And that's what you want to hear. You want to get into your ideal customer's head and talk to them as if you were a voice in their head, which sounds really, really creepy. But give yourself permission to talk to that ideal customer. That is absolutely one of the key things I would do if I started again tomorrow. The third thing I would do if I was starting again tomorrow is to have fun with it. I've gotten so po-faced and constipated and stressed and anxious about social in the past. And that's energetically not attractive to an audience or community. If people see you having fun, laughing at yourself, you know, not taking it too seriously, that is so attractive. It's so attractive. So I love now putting a post up. I've got a post up. Oh, Jesus. My husband Wade has gotten these toe separators, the most ugly things you've ever seen. So I just jokingly put a story up the other night. We're sitting on the sofa about to put on a show on Netflix. And I just did an Insta story joking, saying that he's decided he never wants to have sex again, and put the post up. And it just got so many laughs. And it's that kind of stuff that helps people build that connection with you. There's no purpose, there's no intention, there's no higher reason for me posting that other than just have some fun with my community. So have fun with it. You know, when you are having fun, you are, I'm going to talk about energy for a moment, you're at a really high frequency. Your energy is really high frequency. You're vibrating at a very high level. And that is energetically very attractive. People will want to spend more time on your channel. They want to connect with you. They want to hear more and learn more about what you have to share because they see you having fun and they're attracted to that. So I'm not saying you need to be getting on a clown, you know, putting on a clown outfit or doing stupid dances on your socials, but just enjoying it, having fun. It's very energetically magnetic to a community. So the more you can do that and enjoy what you're doing, the more you will attract the community. The more then you attract a community, the more you'll feel that you are making progress. One of my favorite quotes is Tony Robbins, and he said, happiness equals progress. So the more you feel like you're progressing, the happier you're going to feel, the more people are more attracted to you. You'll feel like you're building a bigger community. You'll start to get more conversation and feedback from them, and then it grows from there. So they are the three things. If I was to cancel everything I've ever done on socials and start again tomorrow, they're the three things I would do. And they're the three things that I haven't done well at times, maybe most of the time over the years when it comes to socials. So Carmen, I really, really hope that my response to your listener dilemma helped and that there's some things that you can immediately start to action from today's episode. Also just remembering that business is 99% mindset, and that extends to social media and showing up as well. So really just want to reassure you, know that it's okay if you're feeling nervous, and hopefully the things that I've shared with you today will give you a bit of a mindset reframe in some critical areas. So Carmen, thank you so much for sharing your dilemma with me this week. And thank you everyone who listened. Quick reminder again, Melbourne Strategy Retreat is happening Wednesday, 31st of July. Then Bali Retreat's happening the third week of October. That is over a third full already. Yes, well over a third full. Almost half full, actually. And then remember, Central Coast Retreat is happening in November. So sending lots of love, everyone. I will chat to you again next week. I loved having you join me for this week's episode. Please do connect with me on Instagram at Lorraine Murphy Mentor and visit my website lorrainemurphy.com.au for tons of free resources and my reading list of all my favorite books. It would mean the absolute world if you could subscribe and share episodes you love with those that you love. Thank you for listening.